I just love to introduce you. Is there a PowerPoint? I just bring my family with me. This is my eldest girl, my girl Nicola, married to Tim with their three kids, or my three grandchildren, little Cooper, Leela, and Ilani. They're in Australia, Melbourne. And so they've done church pretty well. They're going to bed. And I just saw their Facebook. They've just had Brian Houston with them this morning, really setting Melbourne. They planted that church about 5 years ago. It's now the fastest growing Hillsong church in the whole thing. God has blessed them with 4,500 people in Regent's Thing, Melbourne. They started with 19. Isn't that amazing what Jesus is doing? Nicola rings me up every now and then. Mom, I'm freaked out. Can't do this. I just say, good place. Stay there. Once you think you can, you're dangerous. This is our son, David, with his wife, Jenny, and my other little grandchild, little Annabelle. So two kids, Nicola and David, four great-grandchildren. And we live in Oxford. Just click through and just keep ahead of me. That's great. We've got wonderful husband, Gordon, being married, 25. Just keep ahead of me. Yeah, Helen, maybe you can just step. And I want to talk to you this morning about this is my story, this is my song. It's interesting, Jill sang a song this morning. You see, within us, there is a resonant sound. Within this house, there's a sound. Nothing here is here by accident. I don't know if you noticed when you came in today, Terry Wogan has just died. And he's one of those people that had a song and a sound, and you know, you could almost put that, oh, this is my story, this is my song. I want to ask you, what's your story? What's your song? I love this scripture in Psalm 119:54. I wonder if you can read it with me from the screen. 1, 2, 3. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. One more time. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. You see, right within you, when God tapestried your life and made you, there is a decree, there's a designation, literally a DNA, a sound resonance that is within you, his parameters within you, that is a theme. It is actually what satisfies you, what makes you good. And wherever you live, you need to come into alignment with that God sound on the inside of you, and then life is satisfied. My background is I'm a science teacher, so I'm sorry about that. I'm a scientist. And I remember tuning forks. Remember, you can make one tuning fork. You bang it, bing, and then you can bring another one, which is totally silent. But as you bring it near the tuning fork, it begins to make a sound. You see, God has got a sound, and as you come into proximity with the God sound, you begin to resonate a sound. And come on, church. Right here in the middle of Sheffield, there may be many churches, but there is a God sound, a God decree on the inside of you that wherever you lodge, there's a sound that this house is made for Sheffield. There's a sound that you are made to make within the house. You see, we have a distinctive sound. And that sound has both the minor and the major keys. There is a sweet and sour. How many of you can say, yeah, there's sweet and sour in life? There's seasons. But are you courageous and sensible enough to glean everything from life's experiences? Will you begin to enjoy the journey and like the song that Jill sang of that prodigal? You know, he did some good and bad stuff. He had some great attitudes, some bad attitudes. But tapestried in his life was a story and song that actually made him who he was, and when he came back to Father's house, enabled him to have a sound and finished like a champion. You see, I believe it's time to reflect and look what the Lord has done. I don't know what the full story of City Life Church is, but there were guaranteed, I've been around church long enough to know there will be sweet and sour. There'll be the good and the bad and ugly, usually. And it's all tapestried in there. But are we going to pull that together to find this is my story, this is my song? You see, harvest and celebration time. It's a new season right here. There is a harvest, there is a celebration. And we are made for purpose. How many of you know there's something in you that wants to nail something, land something? I don't know what's going on, but I know there's Andy Murray slogging out with Djokovic, most probably while we're sitting here. He wants to nail something, make history. So does Djokovic. And not only is it a tennis match, it's a positional match. I want something to celebrate. I've got a purpose. I've got a destiny. I've been living my life towards this thing. What about you? Where is Jesus in your worldview? Is he really? I really want, Father, that this is what breaks through. You see, there's a destination. We sang about it this morning. And we can sometimes be a bit blasé. Well, of course, my destination's heaven. But I believe God put a story and a song inside every one of us that getting to heaven is not enough, at one sense. Because there's life to live on earth before we get to heaven. We're made to impact and leave a footprint. You come from Sheffield. This is a city of renown. It left a footprint. It has a legacy in our nation. It is a city of distinction. The shield of Sheffield, the knives of Sheffield, the cutting edge of Sheffield is well renowned. Come on, Sheffield, lift your head once again. Change your perspective. You see, written within that sound of life is a desire. I want to leave a legacy. I'm now 55. I'm a grandmother of four, mother of two. And it's interesting, as you get older, that instinct to leave something gets greater. I want to make a difference. And if we're not careful, we can get miserable and introspective and horrible with it. Oh, well, they're not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. How many of you know the Eeyores around you? And I believe God wants to put that Tigger anointing in us as we get older, that there's still a bounce. There's still some life. There's still something in us that said, no, this is my story. This is my song. I felt that it's very easy for you to feel overwhelmed. And maybe the devil sold you a lie. Well, you're not really making an impact. But I felt God wanted me to challenge you and say to you, you're not discerning your season correctly. You've got a wrong worldview on your life. Look at this scripture with me, Joel chapter 2, verse 19. Joel chapter 2, verse 19. And the Lord replied to them and said, I am sending you grain, read it with me, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. Never again will they say, shame on you. Has anyone ever said that to you? Ah, shame on you. Who do you think you are? Never again. God says, I'm sending you. What is he sending you? Come on. Grain, wine, and oil. Now, if you think about it, that's three harvests, three different types of harvest. Grain is a wheat harvest. If you think about it, the wheat harvest grows in a year. You plant it about now. If the poor fields have still got the grain in it and it hasn't been washed away. I come live in Oxford, come from Oxfordshire, a lot of farming. I mean, we're swimming. I know up north, we've had a lot of flooding. It's been down all right through our nations. As I came away, our river is sort of, our A34 goes through a wonderful lake. We look like we're going through the North Sea at the moment. Everything's bursting its banks. But you see, we sow grain and we expect to reap it in 1 year. So you see, the grain is an annual harvest. Now, wine. Do you know how long it takes to grow from a seed to harvest the grapes that you could use in a good bottle of wine? You see, these days, because of our horticulture, we tend to just use grafting, etc. So within 2 years, you can get a good graft and get some good grapes. But actually, if you were to go back to seed time to harvest, and I spoke to some wine dressers in France, they said to develop a new vine takes about 8 to 10 years. So it's a decade harvest. Now, olive oil. How long do you reckon? 35 to 40 years, a generational harvest. To actually go for an olive seed all the way up to an olive tree where you would take the olives off and use for olive oil on your table. They said, you see, the rootstock needs to go through at least 3 severe winters to really get the tannins and that in the sap to make that oil chaste. Amazing. Then you have to graft it in, get the young shoots to get the thing. So right there, he says, I'm going to give you 3 harvests. I'm going to give you an annual harvest, a decade harvest, and a generational harvest. And those 3 harvests together will satisfy you completely and never again shame on you. Hello? You see, it's harvest and celebration time. This is my story. This is my song. And you see, so often, the reason we get fatigued, the reason we get depressed, oppressed, or just mean-spirited and overwhelmed is because we don't get the right perspective of our story and song. God's put a story inside of me. I may get frustrated that it doesn't seem to be coming through, but God is saying, come on, your life is a tapestry of laments of the minor key and the major key. And all of those things, those 3 harsh winters, actually making a flavor within your tree of life that actually brings the fruit you really want, but it's going to take a generation. How many say, yeah, I get it, Rachel. And you see, the devil says, nothing's happened over the last month. Well, it's not meant to. The harvest you're carrying is a decade harvest. It just because nothing's happening does not mean nothing's happening. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. What is discipline? A formation time. Come on, parents, we say to our kids, I'm doing this because I love you. But I love you enough not to leave you the way you are. I love you, but I'm forming it. I'm shaping you. See, discipline times are shaping formation times. It is painful. We don't like our ego being confronted. We don't like being told that isn't your best attitude. We don't like being told, give other people a chance, you talk too much. We don't like being told some home truths. It hurts, it is painful, but guess what? It's really good for you. Because later on, it will produce a harvest, an annual harvest, a decade harvest, a generational harvest, and it will bring peace, executive shalom, an order of God, if you allow yourself individually and this house to be trained by it. Because then you can leave a legacy. Come on, City Life. How are you going to leave a legacy for Sheffield? By growing up and getting trained. So there needs to be a cry. This is our story. This is our song. What is the story and song of City Life Center? Number one, I believe that God wanted to raise up the song of intimacy. Raise up that song of intimacy. I think it's interesting that dear Jill sang today as part of her being set apart. There is a sound. I said yesterday in the Bible school, I believe that there's a new sound in the worship and the music that needs to break forth here. There needs to be, this is my story, this is my song. There needs to be something that really represents you and all your cultures and sounds to break through the sound barrier. Song of Songs 2:10-13 said this, and my lover said to me, rise up, darling, come away. Look, winter is past, the rains are gone, flowers are springing, seasons have shifted, singing birds have come, cooing fills the air. Fig trees are forming fruit, fragrant vines are blossoming. Come on, rise up, my darling, come away. We get all romanticized about this, but actually, this is a call to shift. Rise up, get up, time to move. Yes, it all feels wonderful. There's cooing and wooing and love and romance. Valentine's is coming, remember, get your cards, you've got a few weeks. And you see, it's all there. But it's not sit down and just, be sentimental. It's rise up, come away. So, springtime. God will say to you this morning, discern the season. Tomorrow we enter into February. It's February 29th. It's a leap year. And I felt God say, that's almost prophetic for you as a house. It is a leap year. You got to leap forward. And God's going to ask you to take some big leaps. This is my story. This is my song. There's some shifts, new momentums, new mandates. But it is a time for great expectations. Say to your friend next to you, great expectations. Come on, upgrade your expectations. Upgrade it. You see, God is saying to you, oh, there's a new buzz in the air. There's singing, there's flowering, etc. But sometimes, because we've done a bit of life, our story and song can go a bit like this. Oh, been there, done that, got that t-shirt. Whatever. We heard it all before. How many of you know that one? We're very good at it in church. Pouring cold water on expectation. You know, Thessalonians 5 says, don't treat the prophetic words with contempt. In other words, stop pouring cold water on the prophetic expectation of the house. Don't just say this stuff. No, begin to make it your story. Make it your song. I believe I can say. You see, springtime is that time of hope and expectation. But if you allow your hope to get depleted, then your faith will always be impaired. You see, why? Well, Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if the hope is not there, faith has no substance, no catalyst to work on. 12:13. Love, faith, and hope. These three must remain. Which three must remain? Faith, hope, and love. And so often as we go on our Christian walk, yeah, you know, if I came here and I said I have a real love issue, really don't like people, I don't like love, you'd be a bit worried if you allowed Pastor Jim to let me preach. If I said I had real faith belief issues, not sure what I believe, you know, Bible, maybe, virgin birth, maybe, you'd have real issues with me taking a mic, wouldn't you? The interesting thing, as people get older, if I stood here and say, yeah, but some of my hope expectation have downsized some of my thing, you know, I've got older and wiser and more realistic. Most of you say, yeah, that makes sense. But it doesn't in the biblical. The Bible says hope, faith, and love must remain. Amen. And come on, City Light, that should be your story and song. I can see it. I can feel it. It's springtime. This is a time that you need to know your Father's close, that he's stirring your dreams, that you can feel that expectation arising. This is a time when you need to hear the love song of God awakening the decrees within you, inspiring you to new courage to believe who you really are. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, the Lord your God is with you. Read it with me. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Can you hear his story and song over you? He's saying, come on, wake up, head up, shoulders back. I believe he wants to say to you here in Sheffield, believe you are amazing. Believe you are amazing. People hear me speak and they say, oh, well, you're a southerner. No, I'm not. Don't judge me. I grew up in India for the first 16 years of my life. I'm more Indian than many of you here because I actually lived there, did my education there, did all my stuff there until 16. I then came back to London, did my university. At the age of 24, I went to Africa, and there I gave birth to my son in Nairobi Hospital. I'm more of a mama than many of you Africans because I've actually birthed my kids in Africa. I didn't live here until I was 30, and I've lived all over. I've lived in 19 nations. Yes, I now live in Oxford. But technically, that's not the South, it's Midlands. But there's something that we have in our British psyche that we really need to kill. And it is this thing that does other people down because we're insecure ourselves. And I really believe that God wants to do something in the north of England. I have spent so much time. The reason I came to Sheffield, I was in Rotherham a while ago. And then we were in Manchester. We've been in Liverpool. I was just up in Bolton already. I've been in Burnley. I'm doing the M60, M62, M6 corridor. Both the red rose and the white rose. Lancaster and York. Come on, it's time. There is an anointing for the north of England, but you are not going to carry it unless you get over some of your issues. And this is not a southern girl telling a northern people their stuff. This is a woman of God who loves what God is saying about her nation, England. And I believe that I want to see it break through. But if you don't begin to say what God is saying about you, and this is your story, this is your song, and believe you are amazing, you can never carry what God wants you to have. Because you see, with a word is a responsibility. God has given the north of England a word that fire is going to be ablaze here. God has spoken again and again that it will start in the north. And you've got to believe you are amazing in the hands and principles of God. Oh, well, nothing happens in the north. Everything is negative in the north. We don't have jobs in the north. We don't have... Come on, say what God is saying. That is not what the Holy Spirit is saying over the north of England at this time. And we need churches of courage that will begin to stand up and say, no, this is our story. This is our song. It's springtime. It's a new day. It needs a new sound. Because I love my nation. I didn't live here until I was 30. But when I came back at 30, so I've now lived in this nation 25 years, still lived abroad more than I've lived here. It broke my heart to hear the way English people speak of England. It broke my heart to hear the way you speak of London. That is our capital city. That is our government. If we don't get behind them, we'll get the government we deserve. If the church can't speak right, why do you think they'll govern you right? We have been given an executive to speak the story and the song of God. It's about time we reverse some of our curses and begin to bless so we can see the blessing of God touch our nation. Why is there such an attitude of rejection? Why does the North speak out of rejection? I've come here to plead with you. Come on, North of England. Begin to carry the sound. Believe you are amazing in the hand of God. Start saying what God says. Don't say what your parents say. Don't say what your school place says. Don't say what the football says. Don't say what the media says. Say what your God says and break the curse for the North and see a breakthrough. Believe you are amazing. Well, let's read this scripture. Read it with me. From Philippians chapter 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, come on, read it out loud, like you've had 10 coffees. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Because what you think about is what you're going to say. So how do you think about where you live? Does this scripture apply to you? You see, for many years I used this scripture to try and organize my spirit when I was fed up with someone who was driving me mad. You really wind me up, but God, I pray, help me think about him in a right way. Whatever is true. How many of you use that scripture like that? You really tick me off, but God, now help me think right. But God said to me one day, Rachel, does scripture apply to you? Of course. I want you to do a mental shift with me this morning. This is your story. This is your song. Rachel, whatever is true about Rachel. Rachel, whatever is noble about Rachel. Rachel, whatever is right about Rachel. Rachel, whatever is pure about Rachel. Rachel, start thinking about Rachel as I think about Rachel. You see, See, if you did that in your own life, it would change a lot of your insecurities. If you did that for Sheffield, it would change a lot of Sheffield's attitude. If you did that for the north of England, what is God saying? Not what do you think or what has your media said. Come on, we've got to release a different sound. This is my story. This is my song. This is the sound that's got to break through and make Jesus look good. God wants to put a new sound of intimacy over you. You see, there's something in our culture, though, that says, ooh, you're up yourself. Who do you think you are? We've got to break it. Because, you see, the devil has dragged us down for long enough. The devil's lied to us for long enough. But God has got a story. God's got a song over you. And his story and his song is, you are amazing. You are amazing. Now you might look at me and think, oh, well, you're just self-confident and think, no, you don't know my story in song. I went to boarding school when I was a young kid of 9 years old. By the time I was 12, I was so introspective and damaged, I could not speak. What I do today is a miracle of the grace of God. I was so bullied by 17, I failed my French exam because I could not break the sound barrier to speak to a stranger to do my oral exam. I'm preaching what I know. I had to break every lie of rejection, every fear, everything that told me I was a nothing going nowhere. You see, I returned from India, an English white-looking girl, speaking all very, very happy, and I got bullied and laughed at like you would not believe until I was so damaged within the church and outside the church that I could hardly speak. But I found a story. Come on, it's time you find yours. So this is my story. This is my song. The song of intimacy for today. Number two, he wants to raise up a song of deliverance to release you from your past. He wants you to start to sing that song of intimacy today, but the song of deliverance from your past. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Can you hear the song of deliverance? You see, I had to get delivered from a sound of rejection that controlled my life. I had to listen to the greater sound of heaven that sung over me. That I was loved, that I was precious, that I was cherished. There is a song of heaven that needs to sing over Sheffield, sings over city life, sings over your life, and breaks the power of the enemy's plan and separates you from your past. Have a look at this with me. This was me in 1984. I was 24 years old. I had just been run over by a 7-ton army truck doing 40 miles an hour in Zimbabwe. I should have died. I'd been in hospital because the truck went through my legs and everything from my hips down got broken, smashed to pieces. For those of you who are medical, I had multi-fat embolisms go into my brain. I was in a very deep coma. And fat embolisms are pretty dangerous in this country. Let alone in Zimbabwe, where I had nothing. I was just put in a side room with a drip. I should have died. But October the 27th, 1984, God rescued me from my expected funeral. And he raised me up. But even though he totally instantly healed my brain, believe it or not, he didn't heal my legs. That took 4 years. That's little Nicola. She was 4 months. She was 10 weeks when I had the accident. So you can see she's about 13 months there, I think. It was a 4-year journey. And I often thought to myself, well, God, why is it taking so long? If you could so instantly heal my brain, why is it taking 4 years for my legs to get healed? And God spoke to me. He said, Rachel, I was more interested in healing the cripple within than the cripple without. see, he surrounds you with songs of deliverance. God wants you to know that he's singing over you a song of deliverance to cut off all the past. But he's going to do something from the inside out. And just because the Holy Spirit says something, unfortunately, does not mean it will be easy. How many of you have worked that out? And just because you're going through something that's difficult does not mean it's the devil. God sometimes takes us in difficult paths and says, come on, head up, shoulders back. This is your story. This is your song. This is part of the sweet and sour of Jesus. Walk through the fire. Walk through the rivers. Walk through, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'm not going to let fear get me. I'm going to walk through, and suddenly I will break through, and goodness and mercy will then follow me the rest of my life. I'll break the death, and I will bring in the shadow of goodness and mercy. But you got to walk through. And I believe in this church there have been seasons of that shadow of death. But the formation place of God is often the wilderness. And we need to learn that life is a mixture. But learn to sing. This is my story. Was that an easy season of my life? No. Did I kick, scream, and shout when I was in it? Yes. Was I difficult to live with? Horribly. Were there good days? Amazing. Would I have changed it? No. Did I ever believe I'd say that? No. Come on. We need some people of courage. Isaiah 54:1, sing, O barren woman. You who never bore a child, come on, burst into song and sing for joy. Even though you've not been in labor, because more are the children out of that desolate place than is she who has a husband. You see, out of those desolate places, out of that barren situation, out of that time that you just thought it is bad, even out of those seasons, there's a harvest. There's something for you to celebrate. There's a song. There's a sound. Don't let the devil rob it. Put it in. This is my story. This is my song. Part of the history of this church, I believe. It's part of your story and song. Look what the Lord has done. It's not that we want to go back and live there, but we tapestry all the different seasons. Deuteronomy 1:7. Come on, break camp and advance into the hill country. Often we can get stuck in the wrong season. And you see, Israel had got stuck in a season of mourning, of lament, of self-pity. Poor us. No one understands what a sad time we've been through. No one knows the trouble of this church. You don't understand what's gone on. You're expecting us just to step up. You don't get it. You don't. But you see, the new leader had to step in and say, come on, break up this pity party. Break up this camp. You've got locked into a wrong way of thinking. Break it up. You've got to advance. You've got to move out. It's a new day. It's a new way of living together. And you see, he's surrounding you with songs of deliverance. He's asking you, don't get stuck in a season of lament and introspection. Don't get stuck by looking back into all the pain and the struggle and say, but that all happened, so we're not going there again. No, it's a new day. And you see, the devil will say in your life, don't really step out. Don't do too much because you'll just go back. I want to say to you, no, he's a God who takes you forward. Philippians 1:6, he said, now be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. This is your story. This is your song. You're going to be great finishers. You're going to be great finishers. Yeah? It's a song of intimacy for today. It's a song of deliverance from your yesterday. But I want to finish with, thirdly, it's a song of revelation for today, for tomorrow. It's time to sing a new song. It's time to sing a song that really carries your distinctive. Psalm 40, verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to my God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Pastor already said this morning that there's a shift and transition season, new people coming into the team, new things beginning to happen. It's a time for revelation. It's a time for a new sound, new vision, new territory, new worldview. But the church will have nothing new unless you're new. This is my story. This is my song. God, I can see something new for me, through me, in me. What can you see? The new song foretells of that revelation. That new song has a strong affirmation. And I believe God is saying, come on, church. It's time to sing. It's time to get your confidence back. I believe that the enemy has tried very hard, individually and corporately, to just make you feel nothing. That's why maybe I hit that quite hard. Break the enemy's lie. Some of you individually, you've made messes, you've made bad choices, and the devil said to you, well, look, that's all the bad stuff. You've so messed up. What good is that? But actually, God has given you faith and a revelation this morning. That's part of your journey. That's treasure that he tapestries in to give you a story and song. You're amazing. Can you really believe we are amazing? Head up, shoulders back. I look at what God has done for me today, and I am blown away. The fact I write books, 9 books, that is amazing. It is amazing. I was just with my publisher, and they said, well, you've sold so many of these and this and this and this. And he basically said to me, we want another book from you. We don't care what it is. You tell us, we'll do it. We like you. And I suddenly realized that's an incredible privilege in this market, in this day when books are hard. And I went back to my classroom with my English teacher, where she just used to belittle me, humiliate me, and enjoy it. And I thought, she told me that I should leave the English language alone, that I'd do nothing. And here I am, writing books, and a good author, a best-selling author, and an author that publishes more. That is amazing. Come on, take the labels off yourself. Because can you hear his song? He's singing over you. This is time for a new song. This is my story. This is my song. I want to just take a moment before we go into worship, get the kids back. Can you hear the song of your Father over you? Can you hear what Jesus is saying to you? He's singing over you. There's a resonance of the voice of God that will wake something up. And he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Singing over you. He breaks every lie. He breaks every negativity. He breaks all those clouds of depression. He breaks all those atmospheres of futility where you've just thought, whatever. No, no, no. There's a sound. This is your story. This is your song. Do not keep silent. Said of Esther, she came to a time of history. And Mordecai, who is her uncle and a real wise counselor, said, ah, don't you dare keep silent right now. But what can I do? It's a big national crisis. Everyone's going to die. I'm just a girl, an orphan girl, a migrant. That's what she was. Got nothing. And he looked at her and he said, don't keep silent now. Because you don't understand. You have been born and positioned for such a time as this. And I want to say to you, you are the perfect age. With the perfect gifts. With the perfect talents to perfectly do what God wants you to do right now. You can never be past your sell-by date. Because this is your story. And this is your song. Will you just stand with me? Maybe, James, you could just come and just play for me. That would be great. I want you to hear the song of heaven just over you right now. And this isn't a time to be passive. This is a time to be active. Can you hear Daddy singing over you? I don't know what's been going on in your head, what you've been believing, but it's time to break every curse. It's time to break every curse. A little while, God said to me this, and I just want to say it over you. Don't believe the devil, even when he's telling the truth. Don't believe the devil, even when he's telling the truth. You see, in our minds we go, oh, but the Bible says, John 8, and he said, you know, the truth shall set you free. Yeah, but it is not the fact of the truth that sets you free. It is the spirit of truth that sets you free. You see, when I was at school, I was bullied. Why did the bullying damage me? Because it was the truth. But it was used in an evil way to shame me. You're fat. You smell. You're thick. You're nothing. You're an idiot. You failed. I saw you on the porno site. I saw you doing this. I saw you. And the thing is, because there's some truth in it, we feel like nothing. And he bullies us. And then he silences us. But God's come, the Spirit of truth has come to set you free. And he's not a bully. He lifts you up. He says, I want you to believe you are amazing. I want to break every lie of negativity. I want to break that gramophone on the inside of you that says, oh, well, whatever. I want to break that which is hemorrhaging your expectation so that you've just come to a whatever state of mind and just thinking, ah, whatever. You've now let life come to you instead of letting life flow through you. And God is saying this morning, come on, I want to reactivate your story and your song. It's time to wake up because he loves you. So if you know today, if you're really honest before God, that you've just got overwhelmed and disconnected to a vital relationship with Jesus, then I can't go home to Oxford until I give you an opportunity to put Jesus in the right place in your life. Maybe you've never really let go and put Jesus in that center place. Maybe that song you sang for you. You've said, nah, it's all right, I'll sort it. Nah, I'll sort it. Stop it. Let Jesus help you. Start to sing the true story and song of your life. If that's you and you know you need to put Jesus in your life, I want you just to come and stand right where I am. Stand with me and you just know I need to sort this Jesus thing. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the house? You just come. You know where you are with God. You know where you've been pushing out God rather than welcoming him in. And if you're just saying, I need you, Jesus, I'm sorry. I want you to be my story and song. I have just got offended with you, angry. I've kept pushing you out. But today, I'm saying, come in. We'll give you some time. I want you to be very considered as to why you're doing it. You know the areas where you are living in compromise. So you step into Jesus and say, Jesus, you are my story. You are my song. I'm sorry, God. Is there anyone else? Just come. We've got time. We're not in a hurry. This is really important. before we run out for coffee and stuff, you come to the front of the church. And as you step here, you're stepping into a Jesus moment and you're saying, Jesus, I want you. I want to come near to that tuning fork. I want my life to vibrate with Jesus. No more compromise. You just come. And welcome Jesus right into the center point of your life. No compromise. We welcome you. Call on him while he's here. The Bible says, call on God while he is near. This is a near moment. Call on him. You know what it is. You call him. Come, Holy, Holy One. Ooh. Oh, we worship you. Is there anyone else? You just come. Just give you a few more moments. For those of you who've come forward, I want you just to focus on Jesus. Just close your eyes, do some Jesus business. Just say, Jesus, this is why I'm standing here. I want you to hear my cry. I want you to know why I'm here. God, I'm sorry for these choices I've made. I'm sorry for these ways of thinking. You just pray to God, talk to God. Draw close to God. Let him hear your cry. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Just pray out loud. Break that sound barrier. Just tell him, oh, we worship you, God. We're asking you, Father. Come, 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 come.